Listen, down does not have bottom. The only reason things will change is because you and I, do you understand my point? Do our own part. You must understand that. It's a heavy duty. It's a heavy responsibility. And we must have a mindset that connects with that responsibility. Let's continue reading. So, okay, no, let me continue explaining. So, we saw that from that Revelation chapter 17. He said, let's continue reading. Yes. I'm not finished. I was just going to explain what I said. So, he said, the Lord of Lords, he's the Lord of Lords. That's why he will overcome the Lamb, like the beast. The Lamb will overcome. And he's the King of Kings. And those who are with him are the called, the chosen, and the faithful. Let me say it again. Those who are with him are whom? And whom? The chosen, and then the faithful. Those are the three stages that every child of God goes through in life. For you to qualify to be one of those who are there waging war with the Lamb, you must have gone through these three stages. There's a reason I'm explaining this, because we talked about his prophets. He said, touch not my anointed, and do my prophets no harm. And I explained that these are heavy responsibilities. Listen, let me say this to us again. Bear this in mind. That when the Lord Jesus, in fact, I already told the story of Elijah. Elijah decided, let me use the expression, unilaterally, that there will be no dew or rain in Israel. Remember that. Another point to remember, we discussed it before, is that Jesus decided unilaterally that Lazarus should come back from the dead. I don't have time to explain it. Listen, what happened was the Lord Jesus got to a point. He said, let me make a point to all of you. I said to us before we were discussing it, that Jesus didn't raise Lazarus from the dead because Lazarus needed to be raised from the dead like that, per se. Lazarus' existence, that is survival, would have been affected, if that was the primary thing, by him traveling down before the man died and healing him of his sickness. Because, how do we know that? You go and read the story. When they said to him that, when he said to the disciples, let's go, because they are sending messages several times, and he kept on delaying. And when they were now sending a message to him, when he now said to the disciples, let us go and raise him up and wake him up. They said, oh God, that is a dangerous area. We shouldn't go there. He said, listen, our friend Lazarus is asleep. Peter and God said, praise God. The man who was sick has fallen asleep. He must be getting better. So once, after a while, he will wake up. Just said, let me just explain to you straight. Oh boy, don't die. And I said, and I'm glad for your sake that I was not there. Because if I was there, he wouldn't have died. But that was why I delayed in going, so that he could die. He said, because now all of you are going to follow me. You are going to witness something. And there will be no doubt again in your mind concerning who you are dealing with. That is, for the sake of their faith, he let Lazarus die. It was a matter of let Lazarus die. When he was sure Lazarus was dead, and that by the time they would get there, he would have been dead for 4 days. That was when he moved. And when he got there, he said to them simply, you know, he prayed loud. Father, I thank you because you hear me. And why am I even thanking you? Because you heard me. After all, you hear me always. I'm not trying to wind you, which the way my Pentecostal children will be thinking later. Say, thank him, until he starts getting very happy. Just thank him. Once you thank him, he will not be like he's owing you. He will do something. He said, no. He said, I'm only saying this so that they will hear me pray. That's what he said. He said, I said this for their sake. Let them hear. Otherwise, I could have just whistled and said, Laz, and Lazarus will have come out. But I'm praying this long prayer to impress them. No, I don't have time now. We'll discuss it before. I'm praying this prayer to let them know the kind of authority I have. I am saying this so that they will know that if I decide that Lazarus should live, will live. And not whether he's sick, even if he's dead already. By my decision, I can give life to whosoever I wish. And that is what the Bible calls equality with God. Please, I hope you are getting my point. Let's understand it again. It's a position that's attainable by a walk with God. We've discussed it before. Talking about the Christian path of progress. It's a position. Go and read that Hebrews chapter 2. He explained that he opened the door. Listen, the mistake we used to make those days as young believers is that when they would teach us things, and even those who were teaching us didn't fully understand it, we thought that now that you are born again today, all right, you will just you become another Jesus Christ, and anything you say comes to pass. So when you go to class, one lecturer does you bad. He does not know I'm a child of God. You behead him spiritually on the spot. Except the next day you come, the guy ain't dead. He's even more wicked than he was yesterday. You know the truth? The truth is not that you don't have, a Christian doesn't have that authority. But God has to withhold you, otherwise you will have killed that man. And what did he do? He walked you out of class, he taught you assignment. What's the big deal? You can write another one. Why do you kill a man that has a wife, has children, just because in his anger, he tore a piece of paper? He said, what are you talking about, Pastor Banky? There was a time they drove Jesus out of a city. The disciples said, listen, wait, who's more here? Let's call down fire from above. And you see, Jesus said, you see, this is the point. That's why I don't give you the authority on your own to call down fire from above. When he had to give them authority, you know what he did? He selected the one they will have. The Bible says he sent them out two by two and he gave them authority only to heal the sick. To cast out demons. Because if I don't limit it, hey, Sodom and Gomorrah will appear all over the place. Fire burning many places. So what did he do? He limited the authority. Yeah. Go and read it. He didn't just give them blanket authority. Any authority I have, you take, go. He said, no, take this one. Heal the sick. Cast out demons. Raise the dead. Do this one. These are the things I allow you to do. Don't kill anybody. I didn't add that one to it. Don't call down fire. If you get to a house, they don't receive you. Just shake the dust off your feet and go somewhere else. This fire calling thing is going to destroy. What I want you to know is that he didn't say that there was nothing like authority to call down fire. He just said to them that you don't know the kind of spirit you have. Let me put it like this. You are still immature. You don't know how to wield authority. Let's go. You are getting the principle. You are getting what I'm not explaining. So when you talk about the called, the chosen, the faithful, that's what I'm trying to explain. To wage war beside the Lamb and on his behalf, it's a very, very serious assignment. He doesn't give that level of authority just to the called. He does not give that level of authority just to the chosen. The person must prove faithful to be able to execute judgment on God's behalf. Do you understand my point? Let me explain what I'm going to explain. Let me just try and make it a bit clearer. So you understand the importance of this thing. You take it. Okay, have you ever watched this? In fact, this is the best one. You've watched football before. You've noticed look, half of Nigerians will sack a coach halfway through a match. You know that. Why did he not put, I don't know the current footballers, let me give you the footballers of my own time when I was still watching football. Why did he not put Siasia on that side? He would have been able to feed Finidi George. If Finidi George had been here, that he would have been able to cross over. And Mokachi would have, oh God, this is why we lost this match. The man does not know the dimension of a goal post. Ask him what is the dimension of a goal post, he does not know. But he knows how we would have won the match. And it's not one. No. We have like 50 million Nigerians of that school of thought. So God said, if I give these ones the power to fire coaches, during one match, we'll rehire. How many coaches? Now, I'm bringing an issue here. When it comes to national issues also, let me give an example. When GSM came that time, the argument everywhere is, it is only in a country like Nigeria that calls can be 50 naira a minute. Can you imagine in Ghana, shoemakers carry GSM. If you go to Malawi, you will find that painters are the ones that carry GSM. If you, they kept on telling you all the stories. I was angry and tired of talking to people because I didn't understand how adults could be this ignorant. He said, what are you talking about? I said, listen, it's a new business. It always goes to the highest bidders first. Those who build the networks had to bid to pay $285 million for a 15-year license that was exclusive only for 4 years. And you think they will roll out GSM and be giving you for 10 naira a minute? It's impossible. Not even because they can't do it, because the amount of lines they have to give it to the highest net worth people first. That's just the way life is. I said, everybody be patient. The prices will come down. Of course, you know the way it is now. So you see that most people are ignorant. God cannot give them the authority to speak on business matters. They don't know anything. If God tells them, oh yeah, what do we do? He said, recover the license in the name of Jesus Christ. I speak to those licenses. Come back to the federal government. And that's it. As of today, we'll be without anything. Because of the ignorance of the prophet. Because there are characteristics of the prophet. Prophets can go mad. Yes, it's true. It's in the scriptures. There's what the Bible calls the madness of the prophet. Talking about Balaam. Normally, money is what causes that one. So we can also suffer because of the ignorance of the prophets. So God does not allow small boy prophets to wield certain amounts of power. I use that as an example because that time I was tired of talking to adults. I said, something they are just rolling out. I wasn't happy with 15 minutes. In fact, I was angry. I was as angry as everybody. The only difference was that I explained to people simply, just be patient. But you now know, not only do, in fact, everybody carries, anybody that doesn't have a phone in Nigeria now, it is because he doesn't want one. But I keep on telling you, the reason why I don't give all my children is because of all this promo, text this to this and win this. Small children don't know it's a lie. So I excuse them. Use my own phone when you need to make a call. Please, there's something I'm trying to explain, all right? And that's the fact that he said, those who are with him are what? Or who? The called, the chosen, and the faithful. Listen, let me tell you something about faithfulness. Because that's the last thing that we need to actually be able to wield authority on God's behalf. And that's what prophets do. He says, surely the Lord God does nothing except he reveals his counsel, his secret counsel, to his servants, the prophets. And why does he do that? Because once he has revealed it, then they can rise up, all right, and begin to prophesy, and then God will be able to execute that which he intended to execute. That's just the way it works. You know what I'm saying? Now, let me say something about faithfulness. Now, first, let me just say this, please, also, before I say that. These prophets that we're talking about, it's important, all right? If God will reveal certain things to them, it's important they are patiently listening. Are you getting my point? And it's also important they have the ability to comprehend. It says, surely the Lord God does nothing except he reveals his counsel to his servants, the prophets. And we've already explained the reason why he has to do that. Okay? Now, remember, I said that the prophets, that implies, therefore, they must be patient enough to what? To listen. And they must also have the ability to comprehend. It is not every revelation that God wants to give people that they have the ability to comprehend. You know that? If you know that, say amen. Or if you do not know it, let me prove it to you. Jesus tried to give disciples revelation, and they turned it into fight. They began to quarrel. Said, surely I will be taken, beaten. Ah, Peter said, where I am, somebody beat you, somebody take you over my dead body. Argument began. So Jesus said to them later, there are things I want to reveal to you, but you can't bear them now. It is not every revelation you can carry. It's important to understand that. And I want to understand something here. It's not just about, when we talk about prophets, the prophets are not only preachers. There are engineering prophets. There are legal prophets. There are entertainment prophets. There are governmental prophets. You know what I'm saying? Prophets in legislation. That is, their national assembly, their state assembly. There are prophets that are governors. And there are prophets, okay, that indeed are preachers. Each one, every single one has a level of authority that they must wield, you understand? They must carry on God's behalf. Very, very important. You must bear that in mind. You understand my point? Now, so many of the things, having borne that in mind, many of the things that God wants to do in certain areas, a lot of people can't hear them. They can't bear them. Let me give an example. In Nigeria of today, with all the sectarian ideas, all right? Like I said, one day I went for a meeting in Enugu. They called it Eastern Nigeria Prophetic Mandate Meeting or Conference. When you hear such powerful terminologies, you should go there if you're a preacher. A prophetic mandate. Ah. And like my brother and I used to joke, since I'm a pastor in Eastern Nigeria, those of Cosmo, where all over the states, everyone was hearing our voice. So I said, okay, let's go now. Now we'll reach there. The Lord is good. After this bro preached for like 30 minutes or 45 minutes, I realized that there was nothing prophetic about his mandate. He was an angry man. Listen, you know this is Nigeria. He's an angry man who believes his people are marginalized and victimized. He's hanging around politicians deliberating in Abuja, and he had not heard the voice of God. It was obvious that the man was speaking out of anger. Listen, I was in a church once. The man used to preach with deep knowledge. Then there was a time he began to say things that... There was a day I was in church. He was preaching, and I was looking at him like this, and my spirit and his spirit began to quarrel. I'm not joking, you know, Nasir sit down, they look. But my spirit, they vex. With the rest, will say, stop this, you know. That in the realm of the spirit, stop saying this. You know why I know? Because at the point in time, he opened one scripture, he quoted one scripture, he said, I can sense some dissenting spirits in this place. I felt like, I say, Pastor, don't sense it, see it. Why are you bothering to sense this thing? When I willingly, in fact, there was a day, I went to him and said, God, I think we need to talk. But then we did not talk. I'm getting an issue here. And I used to tell my friends, I said, you know our pastor's problem. Because you must understand something. By the time I started going to church, I was not a child spiritually. I had been reading the scriptures for, I told you, as I started the Bible since 1987, all right? This year makes it 25 years. That means, I don't mean I'd be Christian. Christianity was, I don't even know. That was before then. But Bible studying, like my life depends on if I don't read it, 87. That's 25 years this year. So I was not a child when I stepped into that. You understand? In fact, in ministry matters, it was just a few years ahead of me. So I told my friends, I said, listen, you know our gas problem? They said, well, because we're always discussing, what's all of this? I said, his problem is that he reads too much newspapers. That because when these were the days of, you know, June 12th, all right? Then, like one man said, June 13th. It was those days of, you know, we no go agree. MK won the election, you annulled it, you put him in jail. Abacha, before Ababangida was Buhari, before Buhari was Shagari, you understand? Uh-huh. And then now he handed over to Abacha. And the temple in Lagos, you understand? And that was the seat of Nadeko, you understand what I'm saying? Uh-huh. And you understand, the head of Nadeko was even from my place, all right? From Owo, Ajashin, you understand? So if you got to Lagos that time, the fever was hot. Do you know, the ruling, there was a time they handed over to Shonekan, you understand, before Abacha took over. Shonekan came to Ondo State, and the governor warned him not to come near there again. No, it wasn't Ondo. He went to Ogun, his home state. He was visiting with somebody. The governor went in there and said, interim president, be careful. I'm not joking. It was in the papers. He said, listen, my friend, I am the chief security officer of the state. Before you come in, you must take permission. That was how lawless Nigeria was. Ogun State governor told the interim president that you don't come to my state without permission. The fever, it wasn't good that time. So when you pick paper every day, of course, you know the way country is, you understand? The press is controlling the West. You know that? Yes, now. I mean, until this day showed up, that all the powerful pressmen were from that river, that Niger River here in the bridge, down to Lagos. So they taught Nigerians how to think. People don't realize it. That's how they frame people's mentality. They will change. You don't realize they change for you how you reason. Newswatch, Telo, even all the ones that were printing under the corner, all kinds of, they were all in Lagos that time. So imagine that the seat of that issue, that spirit was in Lagos. If you were a preacher, you have to be careful. And my guy used to read paper a lot. And you'll be hearing preaching and your mind, you'll be upset. That was how I also went for the prophetic mandate conference. And I said, look, I've seen this before. This is the Eastern version of the Nadeko spirit that was in Lagos. I was in Lagos. Pastors will come to church and be explaining the principle, the scriptural principle behind rebellion, because we have to rebel against this government. I'm telling you. To complete that, my gist. So one day, I was not around. My friends came back. I said, Banky, you have come back. Come by here. Come by here. I said, what's happening? They said, one day, pastor showed up in church. I said, he has repented. Maybe we're praying for him. I don't know. He said something. He said he has banned himself from reading papers until further notice. I don't know what that your father wants to say. He said he had banned himself from reading papers until further notice. You know his words? He said, as a preacher, you have to be careful before you become a Nadeko prophet. Remember Nadeko? National Democratic Coalition. All the resistance, people resisting Abacha. That time. He said, before you know what's happening, you become a Nadeko prophet. And just in case you do not know, at that time, there was only one prophet who God allowed that I knew to speak against the government. And his name was Tunde Bakare. And if you were not Tunde Bakare, you had to shut your mouth and just be praying. That was scriptural commandment. I'm bringing an issue here. He said, surely the Lord does nothing except he reveals those his secret counsels to his servants, the prophets. But sometimes when he wants to reveal, they can't hear. Why? They are Nadeko people. So if God says that I have given an instruction that the sons of so and so should rule for so and so time, they will not go agree. Even if God wants to say, listen, this is the best way to bless you, they will not agree. One of the things, you know, when you talk about racism and all that, racial matters, one of the things I know that God had to do to the black man by force was to make him a slave. Because if they were believers, you understand my point? And they had prophets, the prophets would have spoken to them that the white man will come, follow him peaceably to America. There you will labor, but your descendants will rule. But you know, they not go agree. How do I know? Jeremiah prophesied to Israel, follow Nebuchadnezzar to Babylon. He will give you land, he will settle you, you will have peace. If you don't follow him, you will die for nothing. Do you know they still refused? And then he killed them. Took some by force. The ones he left behind, Jeremiah came again and said, don't go anywhere. You know what they did? They packed and went to Egypt. Then God commanded Nebuchadnezzar. He went to Egypt, defeated Pharaoh, sought them out, and killed them one by one. Surely the Lord God does nothing unless he reveals his secret counsel to his servants, the prophets. I'm not making an issue here. There are times God wants to reveal things to people. Eh? They are not ready to receive it. Who are his prophets? That's what I'm talking about. We said the called, the chosen, the faithful. Is that faithful I'm trying to describe? For people to be described as faithful, we need to understand it. I said, one, they are believers. Two, and that I'm talking about, There are people who know the word of God. He said, if they had been in council with me, that is, there are people that went out and they declared what God did not command. God said, what they should have done first is to have been in council with me. Now, I'm bringing an issue. Before you can be in council with God and discuss with him, it's not just you wake up one day and say, now we are going to God's council, because there are things you can't hear. When they speak things about your generations, you'll be offended. So God trains people. That's what I'm talking about. God does what? He trains people. When you see the word faithful, one thing you must understand is that it implies affliction. A faithful man has been afflicted. He has lost money doing business. He has tried ministry. It has closed up on him. I don't know whether you're following what I'm saying. He has suffered the hardship of the environment. Before a man is described as faithful, before God looks at the woman and says, this one is faithful, they had been tested. And testing as a rule is always in the furnace of affliction. Any Christian who the whole life has been sweet, 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 they have never had to make any dangerous decision because of their faith in God, they are not faithful. They are not bad people. Did I say they are bad people? You have just not been tested. That word, faithful, can be used concerning that fellow. Not yet. I don't know whether time will allow us to read the scriptures, but I can just give a few references. Alright, so that we can, for those who just want to check it up, you can just read it. In fact, the best one to see is that in Revelation chapter 2, verse 10, when the Lord Jesus was speaking. He told them that you will be tested, you will be afflicted. Make sure you are faithful till the end. That's what I want to bring out. He used the expression faithful till the end. He said, do not fear what you're about to suffer. Everybody say suffer. Suffer. He said, behold, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison that you may be tested and you have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful unto death and I will give you the crown of life. James said, beloved, count it all joy when you fall into diverse trials. What am I going to explain? The people that God hands his authority to, there are people that he has tested in the furnace of affliction. Let me say something before I go on. You remember the story of the Lord Jesus Christ? He said that there was a man who went to take kingdom for himself. And then he had his servants and he gave them 10 minas. And he said, do business with these until I come back. And then one came and said, your mina has made 10 more. And you know what the master said to him? He said, thou good and faithful servant, be in charge or have authority over 10 cities. Can you see that? Authority is given to the man, to the woman who has been judged faithful. Are you seeing that? That's one. Number two, I want you to understand is that he said, have authority over how many cities? 10 cities. His authority had limit. It's not have 10 units of authority. No. Is have authority over how many cities? 10. Another one came. He said, your mina made 5 more. He said, I have authority over 5 cities. If your mina made to have authority over 2 cities, that is, authority has jurisdiction. Authority has jurisdiction. You don't just get up and be blabbing. Look, I cannot prophesy, at least I don't think I can, effectively over the economy of America is none of my business. I can only do it as it affects the price of wheat in Nigeria. Of which, if God still wants to maintain his farming, say, Banky, don't worry. Now go chop cassava bread. Bread now bread. So that I may put farming upon the people. Let me develop cassava bread for you. Begin to prophesy concerning cassava bread. They will now turn around and say, in the name of Jesus, bread of all forms and shapes. In fact, we add yam bread to it. Lord, bring it. Please, I want you to understand that point. Because like we say all the time, like there are different aspects of life. He said, the kingdoms of this world shall become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. They have different aspects of life. And in each aspect, God commissions, I like that word, some of his children to go in there and receive authority over those cities. You're getting my point? Listen, if you have been afflicted in Nigeria, as our example, or in any country, or in any kind of sphere of life, that is the area where you have authority. What did I say? That is the area where you have what? Authority. Is anyone explaining that? Remember we've been saying all the while, be careful. And then, be faithful. That is what I'm by be careful now is that you don't just say things anyhow. That is with the area you are careful to ensure you use your authority effectively. Listen. People, we're talking Christianity now. I'm not talking about people of the world. I'm talking Christianity. It is extremely difficult for you to have your authority in the place where you have not been punished. Maybe that's why God sent Joseph to Egypt for all that harassment. In Egypt, life was initially, it was rough, then it became good. God said, wait, you won't understand. Send him small, into small, may enter jail. When he reached there, he will have mercy upon the sinners tomorrow. In Egypt, the Bible says they hurt his feet with fetters. You get what I'm saying? It was in Egypt they laid him in iron until the time that his word came. In that interval, the word of the Lord tried him. Paul said, when God found me faithful, he gave me a ministry. When God found Joseph faithful, he gave him authority in Egypt. So it got to a point, Pharaoh said, it's only in name that I'm higher than this fellow. Anybody you want imprisoned, issue for the command, that man is in jail. He gave him the authority to bind the princes of Egypt at his will. But before he got that, he saw what happened to him. I'm trying to encourage you. It's good your father wasn't rich. Oh, I pray you get my point. It is good you went through what you went through. It is good. You were born at a time like this. It is good you wanted a car, you couldn't buy one. It's very good. It is very good. What did I say? It's very good. God is not slow. He knows what he's doing. Look, your life cannot just be a useless life. Are you getting my point? If Joseph did not leave his father's house to come down to Egypt, he would have lived a very useless life. You know, daddy's boy. No, don't go out. You know, mosquito may bite you. And the boy is 22. Mosquito may bite you. At the age of 22, his father will be saying that, no, that your shirt is not too tight on you now. Oh boy, when you don't come up for school, don't begin with, father is still checking, you need new clothes, so tell him I don't need. Refuse. At this age, you are still checking whether I need new clothes. This, my shirt is fine, I like it. It's beginning to have holes. Yeah, in our church, it's a holy church, praise the Lord. Anything that has holes is the will of God. And the man to leave you alone. Waiting. And told me to Joseph that he did not go to Egypt. I don't want. You're getting what I'm saying? When God looked at him and said, this is my Joe. No, go walk. He said, his brothers, thank God for the wickedness in them. Let's take advantage of it. And the boys arranged. And tossed the guy into. God knew he wasn't good. Nobody's going to kill this guy. Nobody. I've not given them the power to kill him. You understand? Anybody that God hasn't given the power to kill you can't kill you. You understand what I'm saying? You must understand that fact. They can't. No matter how much they try. With all the beating, they beat Jesus Christ. Go and watch Mel Gibson. All right? They couldn't break one bone. They couldn't break one bone. Why? None of his bones will be broken. It's a commandment. Beating from now to tomorrow, no bone is breaking. When they say, okay, let us use iron and break it by force, they got there, he had dropped his head, he was dead. It's a commandment. So they couldn't kill Joseph because that punishment was not unto death. It was so as to give this man authority in life. Oh, we know the rest of the story. They sent him to Potiphar's house. He was such a good boy. Potiphar began to spoil him. Hey, Baba God said, this boy wants to spoil this thing again. Do him another one. They gave him another dose. Then the time came that God said, fine. Now we can hand him authority. Tell your neighbor, suffering is good. See, tell your neighbor, it has a season. It does. It has a season. Let me tell you something as a child of God. Pray all you want. That season will not be cut short until the authority necessary you have been built to be able to carry it. Listen, that the gospel of prosperity, I believe it. But we have to balance it well with the gospel of authority. Yes. Do you know even kings? You know, my wife and I, when we are home, we're analyzing it. That one of you both man say, don't beat your children. The ones that are rich, they beat their children. The ones that understand something. They said they asked Prince Philip, that's the father of Prince Charles. Just talking about raising children, saying there are times they had to flog him. You flog? I thought you guys said you don't flog children. I said, no, no, no. That's for the people he will reign over. Him as king, he has to be flogged. That the ones that he will reign over, don't beat them. That's what the man said. Ben Carson said, look, I'll read Ben Carson again, that when he and his brother were doing very badly in school, the mother said, listen, you guys go to bed. I want to go and pray so that God will tell me what to do. The bad is your life. Ben Carson said he couldn't sleep. He was trying to see whether he overhear what God is telling his mother. And next morning, his worst fear came upon him. The mother said, God has spoken. I'll go and read the book. This one, the one I read recently is Take That Risk. So the mother said, God has spoken. What did he say? He said, from now on, no television in this house. They shouted, what? So in a week, you can watch, I think, 3 programs in a whole week. It's all right. That's very bad. We'll try and cope. He said, number 2, God said, each one of you will read 2 books in a week and give me a summary. He said, Becca said, that was even worse than the sentence of no television. But do you know what? That was the beginning of the turnaround in his life. Tell your neighbor, suffering is good. Say it again. It has its season. The Bible says it is good for a young man to bear his burden in a particular season. He said, if God lays it upon him, let him bend his head there and let him just enjoy it. He said, if he gives his cheek to smite him, let him not remove it. Peradventure, God will have mercy. If God says, maybe they slap you, wake up in the morning, twah! Say, thank you, Lord. That slap was unto the glory of God. And the Lord let me cleanse. When he was telling Israel, he was trying to cleanse all their iniquity from them. But let's apply like this. God has to cleanse all your inability to carry authority from you. Very important. God's prophets, they have a covenant with God. There are people who are patient to learn his word so that they may gain understanding. And there are those who have been afflicted and they have maintained their faith and their testimony in the center, in the midst of their affliction. In the midst of their affliction, they have maintained their faith and their testimony. It was in Egypt where Joseph, his feet was hot with fetters. And it was in that same Egypt that he received authority over 10 cities. You know what I mean, figuratively speaking. Let's stop it there because our time has gone. I hope you understood what I said today. If you understood, say amen. If you understood, say amen. Let's just bow down and just give the Lord thanks. And let's be out of here in a few minutes. Yes, Father, I thank you.